We have reached in the middle of this surah, Suratul Buruj, where the Quran talks of Ashabul Ukhdud, that is the people of the trench, where we saw that, and we said that, I mean, as far as the Mufassis are concerned, it's not clear who these people are, as far as the Quran is concerned. It just wants the moral lesson that there were these people, for their belief, they were burnt alive, thrown in the trenches with fire. And we say that, I mean, as far as Mufassir, one of the people are either the Christians of Najran, who are being forcibly converted to Judaism by the Yemenites, or we have some hadith from Imam Ali saying that these are people in Habsha. There was a prophet in Africa, probably Ethiopia. And those people who believed in him, then those who are the believers, they were the ones who were being burnt. And there are also hadiths that say, refer to the Persians, said that it was regarding the Persian kings who wanted to enforce certain tradition, and people sort of disregarded, and he was going to burn people who did not obey him. Anyway, it's not clear, and the Quran is not sort of interested in what the geographical or the historical location of these people. There are these people, and it is as a sort of consolation to the early Muslims that what's happening to them was nothing compared to what had befallen people before them, and that in the end it's the word of Allah which is going to prevail. Now we have read the ayah, Inna batsha rabbika lashadid. Inna batsha. Batsha, batsh is seizing with violence, to seize someone, to grab something violently. Inna batsha rabbika, and the seizing and the punishment or the seizing or the grabbing of your Lord is extremely strong. Shadid is strong, is harsh, coarse, it's really painful. Inna batsha rabbika la shadid. In the seizing of your Lord, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when your Lord will seize them, when He will punish them, when He will grab them, then that is really strong, severe, stern. So these people who are doing what they are doing, it's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the punishment will come, when His seizing will come, when He will seize them, when He will grab them, then that will be very strong, very severe. And innahu huwa yubdiu wa yu'id, and it is He who yubdiu. Bada'a is to begin, is to create. They say from beginning, when there is nothing, then you create. He is the creator. He produces something before there is anything. He creates. Wa yu'id. Yu'id is from ada, is to return. He returns it. He creates it, does it again. So He it is who creates and returns it. Now there is a hadith from Ibn Abbas saying that this refers to the punishment. Here it's referring to punishment. It's the punishment of the hereafter. That is, the people in hell will die, will be sort of rendered to ashes, and then Allah will recreate them and sort of again die and recreate, and this will go on. Or others have said this is just the kind of that, this is one of the sort of, these are some of the names of, or some of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how things are. He creates things and He reproduces them. Produces and reproduces them. It is all in His hands. And then, and as we see it in this surah, in the beginning, there are two things. There is this wa'id. Wa'id is a threat to those who do bad. And this is regarding the wa'id. And there is a wa'ada. There is a promise to those who do good. Wa'id for those who are bad, the hell, the fire, the punishment is there. And there is a promise for those who do good, that there is something good for them, that is Jannah. And here also there are two qualities Allah mentions. Inna batsha rabbika la shadid, innahu huwa yubdi huwa yu'id, is for the wa'id. This is for the punishment, those, the threat that he has given those, that he is catching, his seizing is very violent, extremely violent. Now, bat itself means violence, and then shadid, it shows that this violence is extremely violent, it's not sort of ordinary sort of violence. His seizing, his grabbing, his getting hold of them, his punishment is extremely severe, not only because bat itself, as we said, gives severity. And innahu yubdi'u wa yu'id. This is to do with the wa'id, with the punishment, with the threat. And the other thing with the promise, wa huwa al-ghafurul wadud. And he is ghafur. Ghafur is from ghafara. And as we all know, it's to sort of cover, to forgive. He is ghafur, is very forgiving. And wadud. Wadud is also from wadda. Now this wadud, the name wadud is sort of something not used very often in the Quran. Wadud has only been mentioned twice in the Quran, Surah Hud and here. And there have been sort of other suggestions the why. And wadda literally comes from, it's the same meaning as sort of love, friendship. Somebody who is friendly. Now, there are people who have said, why is it that this wadud, there, and there are other mufassirs or other linguists actually, those who deal with words, they say that wadud is not sort of ordinarily just love. They said it is two-sided. It is that Allah, he is such that he loves his slaves and his slaves love him. Sort of given by the ayah where it says that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with him. It is this special quality of Allah that he loves his slaves and his special slaves love him. This sort of reciprocal love or act of friendship. So there are some others who have said that that's why this, you see, they say that the sifats or the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran and the repetition of that is also to do with how people sort of how we see it in this, how it appears in this world. For example, Rahman and Rahim and anything to do with mercy is very much sort of frequently cited. His names are there. And then about his punishment and his wrath and anger is second. I mean, the most mentioned are his names of mercy. It's because his mercy is more prevalent, is more, we can see it everywhere, it's for everybody. Whereas his punishment is only for a few, those who are disobedient. Similarly, they have asked that this wadud is only twice, is because it is even fewer. This, I mean, the manifestation of his, this name wadud is very small. There are very few who love him and Allah loves them. I mean, this reciprocal love. Okay, Allah loves everybody one-sided. But this, that he loves them and they love him, I mean, these are only his select few. And that's why wadud, they have taken the meaning that it is sort of reciprocal friendship, reciprocal love, love that is on both the sides, that Allah loves them and they love Allah. And a wadud is somebody who loves the loved one and the loved one loves him. So here we see that there are the first two ayahs for wa'id. This is for the threat that Allah has given those who were killing this mu'mineen, were burning them alive, the Ashab al-Ukhdud. And in Ashab al-Ukhdud also there is two sides, those who are burning and the burnt. And as we said last time, some Mufassir said Ashab al-Ukhdud themselves are those who are burning, not the ones who are being burnt in the trenches, but the ones who are burning. And they are being threatened that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to get hold of them, is going to punish them. And the ones who are being burnt, who are suffering for him, is the promise, is the good news that they have got something, they have got a reward which is very great. And this sifat is for them. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودِ. He is the one who is ghafur, forgiving and wadud, and friendly and loving. ذُلْ عَرْشِ الْمَجِيدِ. Arsh is throne. Zul Arsh is the possessor. Zu, as we know, is something, somebody who possesses in Arabic. It's a word sort of possessing, to do with. Zul Arsh is somebody who is possessor of the earth, of the throne, of the Arsh. Al-Majid. Now Al-Majid has been recited, though in the Quran that we read it's Al-Majidu, the last one has got a Ramma. Now then it would refer not to the Arsh. That is, it's not the Arsh which is Majid, but it's Allah. Huwa al-Ghafurul Wadudul Majidu. If you take out the other qualities. So he is, Majid is somebody who is glorious, exalted, high, who is distinguished. Now you are exalted, you are high because the qualities you have got. And so others have said it also has got a similar meaning as Hamid, somebody who is praiseworthy. You praise somebody because he has got good qualities, he's got goodness in him. Al-Majid also is somebody who is high, exalted, who is distinguished, honored. And this distinction, this highness, this exaltedness is there because of the good qualities, that the goodness that is within it or him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is the most high. I mean, he is the one who has got all the good qualities. So in reality, he is the only Majid, Al-Majid. Zul Arsh Al-Majid. And that's why if you look at the Fakhrul Razi, and they have said that it is not possible. There are people who say that it is not possible to call anybody else Majid. But in the Quran we do find Majid sort of referring to Quran itself, or the Quran, Al-Quran Al-Majid. And so others have said that here it is Zul Arsh Al-Majidi. I mean, there they have read it as the Arsh which is glorious, is high. The throne is so high and glorious and good and with all these good qualities. But even giving that qualities to the throne, I mean, that only goes to the person who sits, or the one who sits on the throne, or the possessor of the throne. So in the end it reverts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, whatever meaning you take, I mean, it reverts to Allah. So he is Al-Ghafurul Wadud Zul Arshil Majid. And so he is capable of, and that's what the next ayah says, to do whatever, because he has got all this power, he has got all this characteristic. Fa'alul lima yurid. Fa'al, somebody who does. Fa'alul lima yurid. Yurid, arada, yuridu is to want, to desire. Whatever he wants, he can do. And this is absolutely only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody is fa'alul lima yurid. Though others claim that. Other kings and dictators may claim it, but it's a very small thing that they can do of things that they want. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can do whatever He wants. Everything is in His hands. So these people went, and only also the Muslims, and also we have hadith to this effect that the Muslims in the beginning used to come to the Prophet and say, please pray to Allah that we get victory quickly and swiftly and all this punishment can be removed. And the Prophet said, things take time. I mean, the way Allah does it is different. I mean, He does it the way He does it and properly. We may not know the end of the sort of as insan, or as the Quran itself says, insan or human being has been created hasted. He wants things to happen very quickly and swiftly. Things do not happen in this world like that. But Allah is going to do, and He is doing whatever He wants. And those who are good are going to be rewarded. Those who are bad are going to be punished. And this is, as we said last time, is the basis of tawakkul. I mean, when we believe in Allah and have yakin in Allah, this is what tawakkul is. Knowing that Allah is fa'alul lima yurid. He will do and He does whatever He wants. And having faith in this thing. We may not know, we may not see it, we may not be aware that how, but then after all, our knowledge is very limited. Things we see are a small fraction of what the whole universe is, and we may not be seeing what is happening. But all these things happen all the time, and we are sort of asked by religion that to have belief in these things. And that is all we can do, and that is all we, because of our incapabilities, our sort of weaknesses. We cannot see everything that is happening. But these are things that are happening, is happening. And those who are punishing the mu'minin, they should not think that they are winning. They are not winning. They are losing actually. They may think they are winning. Because Allah is fa'alul lima yurid. He is doing and He is sort of exercising His batch. His seizing. These people are being seized. Even though, even now, I mean, when they are doing these things, they are being seized. They are sort of in the beginning of this seizure which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sort of or is operating and will seize them. So we are asked, and this is the whole concept of tawakkul and sabr and all these things revolves around this thing, belief in this huwa fa'alul lima yurid. He can do whatever he wants, and what he wants is good, as he has said, and he is going to reward those who are, or is rewarding, is a better word than to say that he is going to. He is rewarding those who are doing good, and is punishing those who are doing bad. And he has no haste, he is not in any hurry. You see, in Mufassirs have mentioned this thing, people who are in a hurry, we sort of try to be in a haste. There are many reasons. One of them is that we think that the person, for example, we want to grab somebody, he'll run away, he'll become more powerful. Or he will change, he will miss the opportunity. But for Allah, there is no such opportunity. All the time he's got the opportunity. He has got all the time in the world, literally. He has got nothing to hurry about and worry about. Everything is in his hands. So he is in no hurry to grab anybody. In fact, this, as they say, this giving time is one of his mercies, that maybe that the people will turn and will revert to him. Now here there is also another very good concept that we should mention, that all the prophets had this. Anyone in Islamic akhlaq, it is mentioned that we should also have it. When we are faced with bad people, there are different categories of people, reactions that people show, and good people show. One of them is they say that, oh Allah, destroy these people. They are being against your religion, they are, you know, a barrier to truth or to the progress of religion, so they want them to be destroyed. There are others who are indifferent. I mean, they say, these people are ignorant, we pass away, we just keep on doing what we are doing. And there are others, even higher, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't want these people destroyed. They don't want to ignore them. In fact, they want them to come in the mainstream so that they are a force, they are with them. So they are in a sort of assisting the good. Instead of being a barrier, they want to be assistants of good. And that can only happen if they sort of understand, if they realize what is good, and that good is something that should be helped and is for themselves, it is for themselves as well, good for themselves. And these are the prophets. I mean, they never wanted to destroy the people. So, for example, our prophet always sort of used to say that, oh Allah, they are ignorant, guide them. So this is because he wanted them to turn. I mean, it is as if somebody is coming against you. You want them to sort of go with you, to take you with them, and take them with you. The flow, come in the flow of the thing, rather than being against the flow, or throw them out of the whole thing. But no, they want to carry them with them. So they always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them, not to destroy them, not to ignore them, but to guide them so that they are with them. They turn around and go with them. So that's how sort of, and that is how sort of akhlaq also teaches us that we have to be sort of patient and kind to people. This kindness is of this sort, that we also want them to be with us. Because after all, there is no fun in heaven if you are alone in it. You want companions, you want others to be and share with you and be with you. So this sharing is there with this awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is very, very merciful. And he gives times to us. Though things are happening in the background, I mean, we have only a limited view. Things are happening. Allah is seizing those who are doing bad. But then there are also opportunities that they have time. And this is tawbah, that they can turn around and benefit from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Quran gives more examples of this thing, that this has happened before. It is not something that is only happening now or happening to this Ashabul Uqdud. This has always happened and is happening now, has happened, will happen, because this is mankind has been created in such a way. Hal ataka hadithul junud. Has the narrative, has the stories of the junud come to you? Hal ataq has come to you, hadithul junud, the hadith, the story, the narrative, the anecdote of the junud. Junud is plural of meaning armies. Now, which are these armies? comes, the example comes later on. Fir'aun wa Thamud. Fir'aun and Thamud. Fir'aun, as we all know, the Pharaoh of Egypt, how he was oppressing the people, especially as it's mentioned in the Quran, the Bani Israel. They were the slaves in Egypt, the brought as slaves, and by being oppressed. Hasn't this come to you? Didn't you see what happened there? There were also there people who are being punished, and those who are suffering, those who are putting the sufferance. And what happened in the end? You saw it. This is what you know. We know what happened in Egypt. Thamud. Thamud is a tribe, it's an Arabic tribe, the story of it is given elsewhere in Quran. This is the people of Shu'aib and the Naka. So and the Arabs at that time were all aware of this Thamud. I mean, what happened to these are the people who used to live in mountainous areas, and as the Quran says, used to dig houses out of the mountains, and they were extremely strong people. You saw what happened to them. They were destroyed as well. So this will come to pass. It's not something that you should worry about. This is going to happen. Allah does not sort of go against His promise. But the case is, بَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي تَكْذِيبٍ. The thing is that those who are kafirs, those who disbelieve, those who disbelieve in the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disbelieve in Allah, disbelieve in His message and everything, they are always in takzeeb. Takzeeb is, kadhaba is to belie somebody, tell somebody he's a liar, because after all they do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the goodness of His, is the greatness of His, and all these things, and the messenger, all this. So they are belying Him, they are belying the Prophet, they're saying that no, this is not going to happen. Not only belying them, going over it and sort of trying to shut them up and torture them and all these things. So these people who disbelieve are always in this situation, to belie those who come up with the truth, to come up with the message that there is something that is coming, there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is going to reward and punish and this thing. And they want to belie this, they want to deny this thing, and deny it not only with their tongues and all this thing, but with their actions as well, and do not even want to hear about it, suppress the message. But the case is, وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ مُحِيطٌ. And Allah from behind them, literally this means, and Allah from behind them is muhit, is surrounding them. So from behind, others have said, when somebody is running, somebody comes behind you and is surrounding you or blocking you from behind, so there is no way of turning back, you can't run away. Others have said behind, literally here means wara, is anything outside you, above you, so it from all the directions. Allah is sort of surrounding you. In every way Allah has got you surrounded. Got them surrounded. That's why He is not in no hurry. He can do whatever He likes with them, because He surrounds them in every way with His knowledge, with His power. In any way you can think, He is surrounding them. So there is no way for them to run or to escape. But anything that Allah says is going to happen, and He is capable of doing it. بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ. But it is a Qur'anum Majid. It's a glorious Qur'an. It's an exalted, high, distinguished Qur'an. Qur'an full of goodness. As we said, Majid before, and here is an example. Others have said, Majid cannot go with other than Allah, but in the Qur'an itself, it's been referred to Qur'an itself. بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْبُوبٍ. In the law. Law is anything that is wide, broad and thin. And then tablets and things on which you write. And they used to use even the bones, which are bright, wide and shoulder bone and all this, they are known as law and alwa. And even in the Quran, I mean, the tablets that were revealed to Musa, alwa. So anything that is wide and broad and thin is law. And from there comes the planks of wood and all the other things. So this is the Quran Majid in Lawhim Mahfuz. Mahfuz is something that is ismul mahful from Hafidha, yeah. Means to guard, to protect. So it is a Quran Majid fi Lawhim Mahfuz. Now here also Mahfuz has been recited with Kasra. If it is Kasra, then it refers to Law. But there are others, and this is the normal recitation. There are others who have recited fi lawhim mahfuzun, then it will refer to Quranum Majidum Mahfuzun fi lawhim. So this is the Quran which is in tablets. Either the, if you take the first reading or the reading which is normal, then the tablets which are guarded. Now, we have all heard of Lahu Mahfuz, and this is the only reference in the Quran where this word is used. We have lots of hadiths to say what Lahu Mahfuz is, and we have also heard of them. There's secret sort of tablets there where everything before being sort of, all the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is written on it before it actually actualizes, it manifests in the world. Everything is in this Lahu Mahfuz. And others have said that there are references to other things. Kitabu Maknoon, for example, Quran is in a, Kitab Maknoon is something that is hidden. They said that is also Lahul Mahfuz. And or others have said Ummul Kitab, where the Quran says everything is in Ummul Kitab and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps anything that He wants and rubs out things that He doesn't want from Ummul Kitab. So Ummul Kitab is something that where everything is written, things that happen first are written in Ummul Kitab, and then they sort of manifest in this world and appear in this world. So others have said all these three things refer to the same. Now those who take the reading as, if they say Mahfuzun, then they are not worried about this Lahul Mahfuz as we understand, because they say this has nothing to do with Lahul Mahfuz. And they say this Quran is in Lahu. It is written by the people. They have, some have also taken that it is Lahu as written by the early Muslims used to write them in tablets and bones and anything that is wide and spread. It is there, and it's got nothing to do with any sort of other law or any other board or tablet which is high up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't have this concept at all. These are guarded, and this Quran is guarded. Nothing will come to this Quran, no evil will come to it. Guarded in the sense that no corruption will come to it. Now corruptions can come to in many ways. Where once when it is being revealed, shaitans can come, and these are all concepts that are in the Quran, and corrupt the revelation so that the Prophet receives it in a different way than what it is intended. Or corruptions that can come once it has been revealed and it is with us, and we may add and subtract and dilute or whatever. So it says that this Quran is mahfuz, it is guarded, no corruption, no evil can reach it, it is guarded. And this, we have got other references in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is there, He is, Allah is the one who is going to protect this Quran. Now, those who have taken this as Lahul Mahfuz, that it is a Quran Majid, fi Lahul Mahfuz, they say it is in the Lahul Mahfuz, it is in the tablets which are protected. Those tablets cannot be reached by anybody else. Kitab Matnun, except those who are very pure. لا يمسه إلا المتحرون, and only those who are pure can touch it in the sense can read it, can have access to it. And these are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the malaika and all these other great beings. They only can read it, no other people can sort of have access to that thing. They can read it, they can take it, and then maybe convey it to the others, but there it is, there guarded in those tablets. So, as we said, I mean, many others have said that all these other hadiths coming about Lahul Mahfuz, what it is, and it is made of these pearls and these things, and there are thousands of hadiths. They say all these hadiths are very weak. So we have to take it with a sort of, careful. We have to be careful in accepting this. And others have said that no, there is nothing like that. And this ayah does not in any way refer to Lahul Mahfuz, and they are the people who have taken it. Fi Lawhin Mahfuzun. That is, this Quran is Mahfuz, not the Law, not the boards, the tablets which are Mahfuz. I think I'll stop here. If there are any sort of queries, commentaries, we'll take them, inshallah. Next term, as you know, is the last lecture for this term, inshallah, and we'll finish what we are doing of the book that we are doing.